Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission.
All right, let's just put our hands together and thank God for that time of worship. Yes. It's been an amazing weekend with your students. And if you got a Bible today, we're going to be in Galatians chapter 5, so you can be turning there, whether you have a physical copy of God's Word or digital. You might ask, well, what do you do with these student D9 weekends? You saw a little bit on the video, but we've been walking through God's Word. We've been walking through the book of Galatians, and God has been moving. So we're going to be in Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse 16 today. And we've been talking about this idea of freedom, like we're the students want to get pumped up to serve God, so how do you get pumped up to serve God? First, you got to be free. Free from the bondage of sin and the bondage of slavery. As you're making your way there, my name's Garrett Wagner, and I'm a little bit from outside of DFW. And I travel and do this full-time evangelism, and a little bit about my family. I got a wife, her name's Rachel. We've been married 13 years, and we have three sons. We have a seven-year-old named Graham, and then in July 2020, we thought my wife was pregnant with what was our second child, and so we went to get a sonogram. And the lady doing the sonogram asked us a question that changed our lives forever. She said, "Do you see the babies, like plural?" Like, we're like, "Excuse me?" She said, "Yes, baby A, baby B. That's Grayson and Griffin. They're 3.5 years old now, and we call them the sons of destruction, okay? They came out of the womb wild. They're just wild guys, okay? And so, dude, so just pray for us. I'm praying that that energy will be used to channel for the kingdom of God one day, amen? Right? Not the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of God. And so pray for us. Pray for my wife. She's a warrior. She loves Jesus. She feels called to what we do, and she's holding it down, right? She's holding it down, and then usually we have a rhythm. She goes, "I'm okay with you traveling, as long as when you get home, I'm going to go on a six-hour Walmart trip," okay? And she does. She will disappear. "I'll see you tonight after, you know, at bedtime, you know, or after the kids go to bed." That's how it works. So, but a little over 4 years ago, God called our family to step out on faith, to travel the U.S. and the world to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you might ask, well, why would you do that? You know, there was a lot of evangelists in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. There's not a ton now, so a lot of people have forgotten what that is. But we travel the world to share the gospel, and why would you do that? And then when I first stepped out to surrender, at that time we had 5-month-old twins and a 3-year-old. I'm like, why? And I was talking to a very wise pastor friend, and he said, you know, God's perhaps calling you to do this so that he can send, because he wants to send revival. He wants to send spiritual awakening. And that's what we've been seeing the last 4 years. And predominantly, we've been speaking to the next generation, 7th or 6th through 12th graders. And we're seeing that across the nation. Despite all the negativity, like CNN, Fox News is not going to really report this. But you even look across college campuses. There's thousands of students right now on secular college campuses. On the two teams, the campuses where the two teams will be playing for the national championship, Notre Dame and Ohio State, like there's athletes testifying of Jesus Christ. And youth events all across the nation, I've seen it. Students are taking notes. They want to hear the gospel. They don't want to be entertained. And I challenge students to take notes in sermons everywhere I go, at camps, conferences, D-nows, and all across the nation, they're coming up. They could get up here and preach you the sermons that I did this weekend. I'm not going to call you up here and make you do that, but they want God's word. That's good. There's a hunger and a thirst happening for the gospel and next generation. And if you look at history, if you study church history, every time God has sent a spiritual awakening, it's been through the next generation. And we see that he's doing it again. I'm not the only one saying that. So we can thank God for that, right? He's moving. And so if you weren't here at D-Now this weekend, we want to splash some of that on you this morning. Amen. So Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. The main thing I want to say is this, is Jesus died to set us free and free people reach the world. So today what we want to talk about is staying free. We want to talk about staying free. I believe in these events because these events, when I was a teenager, changed my life. It was through D-Now and youth camp where I began my walk with Jesus. I even started surrendering to my call to preach the gospel. But a lot of times I would go to camp and I would go to D-Now And amen, right? I would go to D Now, and I would experience freedom. I mean, you're hearing God's Word. You're in music that lifts up and glorifies Christ. You're reading God's Word. And you experience freedom. You experience freedom from sin, right? But then you think, well, I used to say, I can't wait to go back to D Now and experience God again. I can't wait to go back to camp to experience God again. But then God dropped a message in my mailbox. He said, I'm the same God with you in your bedroom by yourself as I am at camp in D Now. That you can walk with me on a daily basis. You can stay free. So students that have experienced Jesus this weekend, you can stay free in your daily walk with Jesus. So Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, let's read it. If you're ready, say I'm ready. Amen. Here we go. It says, I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will certainly not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you don't do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. I am warning you about these things, as I warned you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against these things. Now, those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, and envying one another. So this is the first thing that I want to say is this, is the gift of the Holy Spirit empowers us to live free. That when you got saved, God gave you a gift. If you've given your life to Jesus, if you've repented of your sins, if you put your faith in Jesus, God gave you a gift. It's the Holy Spirit who is God to live inside of you. That's the good news. To empower you. So he's saying this, walk by the Spirit. He says, live by the Spirit. Now, I grew up in East Central Louisiana. I'm not Cajun. It's like North Louisiana. We're more redneck or hillbilly or whatever you want to say. But I grew up in rural Louisiana. And my grandfather, he lived out in the country and he had a great front porch. And so one thing my grandfather had was, I guess it was inherited. He had a little grumpiness to him, right? He had a little grumpiness to him. And so we would always go visit my grandfather, and he would be doing several things every time. He was consistent. He would be sitting on the porch, front porch, in a rocking chair, swatting flies with a fly swatter and drinking coffee. Anybody, if you do that, if that's your favorite pastime, raise your hand. Come on. And then he lived He lived, it don't matter if it was 30 degrees outside or 100. He was out there. And up the road was a river, a famous river that everybody, well, it was a big fishing community. Everybody would go fish. So there would be trucks and bass boats like going down the road all day. And my grandfather, his name was Dewey. We called him Dewey Ray. So we have a common joke because he was my dad's dad. I think we've all inherited a little grumpiness. And so my wife would even tell me, you're being Dewey Ray right now when you're grumpy. All right. So he was a good man. I had a little bit of grumpiness to him. And so he would sit there in his rocking chair, swat flies. He would drink coffee. And then he would complain about people driving up down the road with their bass boats going fishing. And he was retired, okay? But here was the problem with that. He had a brand new boat in his garage that he never used. He could go fishing just like they do. He had the freedom to do that. But no, he chose to sit and gripe about everybody else going fishing when he had the ultimate freedom to do that. Now, when I think about that, I think about this. I think about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in the church is the most neglected and abused person. Especially in the Baptist circles, it's the most neglected person. Because we wonder why is there so many churches that are dying? Why is there so many churches closing their door? Why are there so many professed Christians in America, but the percentages and stats say that very few share their faith, very few live it out? Because I believe that we've believed in this Christianity where we can say a prayer, we can get out of hell free card, but then we never live the life that Jesus has called us to live. Or we've gotten this idea, like we like get it from fandom, right? From if you're a sports fan, we sit in the stands and we cheer for our team and we yell at the TV, but the reality is we're never in the game. And then we're always the best coaches. We know how to fix the Dallas Cowboys, or I do, better than the owner does, right? better than the coaches do because we have that view. We can see more things than they can see, right? And that's what we've done in church. We've said, you know what? We hire the pastors. They do the work. We say, we wave our go pastor flags, right? And then we never live. And some people say, oh, I'm bored with the Christian life. I'm bored with the church. Why did they say that? Because they never really live out the Christian life. The Holy Spirit is like that boat that sits in the garage that never gets used and never gets tapped into. The gift of the Holy Spirit empowers us to live free. So that's why he says students walk by the Spirit. Not once a year, not twice a year, but every single day of your life. I had an evangelist friend who went to be with the Lord. He would always say this, in the church in America, if we would live out just half of what we heard on Sundays, we'd see revival in America. What if we lived out 100%? The problem is, it's not what we hear. And here we have a lot of great content and sermons and Bible studies, and there's a lot of great preachers, and we can access them now on our phones all across America and all across the world. But the problem is, it fails to go from our head to heart and translate the way we live our life. It doesn't go from Sunday to Monday. But if we can grasp, he says, walk by the Spirit, live by the Holy Spirit. And what will happen? There's a war going on. You're either yielded and surrendered, you're either walking free in the Holy Spirit today, or you're in bondage to sin. Now, there was a temptation. The reason why Galatians was written, because there were these false teachers that came in, and these people had encountered Jesus, and they got on fire for the Lord, and they were walking with Jesus, but these people came in. And they weren't people that we often think, oh, well, were they pagans, right? Were they people that didn't believe in, you know, the Lord, and they were like pushing people away that way? No, these people are actually church folk. They were legalists. Well, so what they were telling people, they came in, they're like, hey, you're not free in Christ. They were about traditions. You got to follow this set of rules. You got to follow these set of traditions. And they were actually going back in their faith. Now, the two dangers that Galatians present that can pull you away from Christ are these two things. It's legalism and paganism. Now, legalism is this, is when we don't have any love, no passion, no joy in the Lord, right? We're just like, you got to do this, this, and this, and you got to meet these expectations. And then people that come in that are hungry for Jesus, we do what? If you're in legalism, you judge them and push them away. And those people might get mad, and they say, you know what? I don't want anything to do with the church because they confuse legalism with following Jesus, and they go to what's called paganism. They're like, you know what? I'm going to do what the world tells me to do. I'm just going to live it out. I'm going to be what's called free, and I'm just going to own my own truth, right? Those are two extremes, and they're both not of the Lord. They're both of the kingdom of darkness. And that was a temptation they faced. But he says this, walk by the Spirit. You're either walking by the Spirit, for the flesh desires what's against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you do not do what you want. That's a war going on, but he says, but if you were led by the Spirit, you were not under the law. I have a good friend. I've not been able to be a part of student ministry the last 20 years and used to direct camps, but I had a good friend that's devoted his entire ministry to helping people get out of pornography addiction. Because I believe that's an epidemic in America. All the abuse and the scandals and everything that we're seeing, that could be the root. I believe it's worse than cocaine. It's worse than drugs. It's getting your mind wrapped into pornography. It's ruining men and young men, even young women in our culture. And he helps people get out of it. But he always says, this is how I know somebody's free in Jesus. How can you tell if somebody's real free in Jesus and not trapped in sin? And he always says, they will fulfill the Great Commission. They will fulfill the mission of Jesus. If somebody's free from sin, you'll see it in them. They will have this passion and desire, and they will be living on mission. They will be serving and loving. And that's the result. Galatians says this. He says, you were called to be free, brothers and sisters. Only don't use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one. There it is. There's the theme of the weekend. Serve one another through love. How do you know if you're free? You'll be freely serving, not worrying about what people think, not trying to earn anybody's favor, just because out of the overflow of your love for Jesus. The gift of the Holy Spirit empowers us to live free. So how do you know if you're free today or you're in bondage or you're trapped? Well, he gives a list. He says, here is an example. You say, well, I know because I'm a part of First Baptist Stockdale or I'm a part of this church up the road. That's not what he says. Watch what he says. Look at verse 19. Look at this. He says, now the works of the flesh are obvious. It's obvious. He says it's obvious who's a Jesus follower and who isn't. It's obvious who has the Holy Spirit and who doesn't. How is it so obvious? Watch what he says. The works of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. I'm warning you about these things. I warn you that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, when we look at that list, it's easy for us to point fingers and compare, but we all struggle with things in this list. Every single one of us, including me. Especially when the Cowboys lose, I'm very competitive, outburst of anger, me. I got a wife who loves Jesus more than me. I don't know what she really struggles with, but she loves the Lord. Like, you would probably want to hang out with her more than me. But when I'm watching, I'm overly competitive. That's my problem. And that's where I can get in my flesh. Like, you know, I took my heart away from the Dallas Cowboys like 3 or 4 years ago. You can't have it. But my other team is the LSU Tigers, and sometimes when they start losing, I can get really upset. And my wife, she's like a second Holy Spirit hovering over me. She's like, you have sons in there. And they're watching. Now I got three little heads looking at me like they got all these toys, but when I'm watching a ball game, they all want to be in front of me making sure I don't get mad. Daddy, why are you angry? Daddy, why are you mad? But I had to learn even this outburst of anger, right? Am I being controlled by my flesh, or am I being controlled by the Holy Spirit? But a lot of times, if we don't know how to tap into the Holy Spirit, all our culture glorifies is this list right here. Idolatry, loving things more than God. Parents, sometimes, and I'm talking to myself because I love sports, we can be more passionate about how our kid performs in sports than how much they love Jesus. You know what? When you stand before Jesus, you know what? Your kid might not, probably there's 1 in a million chance that they're going to make the NBA. 1 in a million. There's a 1 in a million chance that they're going to make the MLB or the NFL. 1 in a million chance. But there is 100% chance that they're going to stand before Jesus Christ. So we need to stop getting concerned about how they perform. Idolatry, love, I'm as guilty as anybody else, loving things over God, sorcery, hatreds, or just the culture is just ready to fight. I mean, the news, Fox News, CNN, so X, social media, Facebook. Now, we want to pick on students about being on social media, but Facebook has been taken over by moms and grandmas. Come on, amen. You're not going to find, you can't look on Facebook and see what your kid's doing. They're not on there, but it's been taken over. And when you look on Facebook or when if you're on X or whatever, formerly Twitter, people are just ready to fight. Like if you look on group pages, like town pages, right? I'm on them too, community pages. People are ready to complain. People are ready to fight. We're just a culture that knows nothing but flesh. Like for instance, our worship team that's been here, we love them, right? These are dudes that love Jesus. They're right, there we are right here. They're on the front today. These guys love the Lord. And y'all showed hospitality by putting them up in a home. And they were trying to find their home the other day. If you're on what's happening in Stockdale, and the maps took them to the wrong house. So they go and ring the doorbell. They think they're at their house or staying at. And he's in the house, like in the rain, telling them, I love Jesus. I lead worship. I'm just trying to find my house. And then it gets put on like, there's robbers in the area. People are just ready to fight. I'm like, the dude told you in the camera he loved the Lord. Yeah, people have been stealing packages, and people are ready to fight and ready to be angry. Pastor gets on there and says, this is our worship team from DNow, and the same person that's complaining gets under him and starts complaining again. It's like, we don't want no Holy Spirit flesh. We want to fight, right? And sadly, you know what? That's bled into the church. I told them they gave me permission to use that illustration. They're just trying to serve Jesus, man. They don't want your Amazon. They want to serve. They got Amazon. They got a box waiting at their house, right, when they get home. Hoping nobody gets that one, okay? But we see number two, it's the results. This is, notice what it says, now the works of the flesh. Notice what, that's stuff we generate in our own power. This is the result of living life in our own power. When we live life in our own power, this is what comes out of us. I've grown up in church. My dad's a pastor. I've been around ministry my whole life. I've traveled to all kinds of different churches and different forms of ministry. And this is what I see, even in just the regular churchgoer world and in the pastor world. This is what separates. There's people that are full of the power of the Holy Spirit and people that aren't. There's churches that let the Holy Spirit reign and rule and those that don't. And far too long, we've tried to do church life and generate church life and execute our programs and go through our motions and preach our sermons without the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the results of living in our flesh. What do you get? Death, right? You can't inherit the kingdom of God. It's all death. But here's the last thing. This is the impact of letting the Holy Spirit live through you. The impact, we see, of letting the Holy Spirit live through you. Notice this. This is going to be good news for all of us. Watch this. Verse 22 says, now notice it said 19, now the works of the flesh are this. But watch what it says. But the fruit of the Spirit. Notice the difference there. The works of the flesh, the fruit of the Spirit. The works of the flesh are what we can generate in our own power, which is nothing but darkness. But the fruit of the Spirit, notice, we're not even in that. It doesn't say anything about us. It's all glorifying the Holy Spirit. It's all lifting the Holy Spirit up. Why is that? It's because this, the Christian life is impossible in our own power. We can't generate what we can generate, even inside of the walls of the church, we can't generate anything but flesh in our own power. But the good news is this, is following Jesus is not in your own power. What following Jesus is, it's surrendering to Him as Lord and letting the Holy Spirit live through you. Notice what it says, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. This is when you surrender to the Holy Spirit and you live in the Holy Spirit, you let Him, and He impacts through you when you say yes to Him and no to your flesh. When you get up in the morning and say yes to Him, notice what it says. What comes out of your life? Watch this. It says love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Does that come out of you? When if I were to take the people that know you best and put you out of the room and say, I'm just going to interview them, and I'm going to ask what comes out of their life. There was a convicting thing I read recently that says, it was talking to ministers that says, okay, if a husband, if I can take you out of the room and interview your wife, what is she going to say that comes out of your life? The works of the flesh or the Spirit? That's a good test, right? What comes out at home? It says love, joy, peace, patience. Some of the greatest people I've met have been Jesus followers. Why? Because the Holy Spirit just flowed out of them and it was contagious. If you met somebody like that, raise your hand. You met them, and that's what happened with me as a teenager. Youth pastors and their spouses, full of the Holy Spirit, impacted my life. People in the church, I've seen deacons that love God and are full of the Holy Spirit. And even if it might have been a few of them, right, or a few people in the church, but they radiated the Holy Spirit. I said, as a young man, I want that. But some of the meanest people I've met have also been in the church. That cause division, that complain, that gripe. When you run into them, it's not love, joy, peace. It's anger. You didn't do this right. You didn't do that right. What controls your life? That's the question you have to ask. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. I remember when I first started preaching, I'm so grateful for my dad because I surrendered to ministry at the age of 16 at a camp. And I thought, well, maybe I'm going to be a worship leader now because worship leaders are cool. But the problem was I can't sing. I'm tone deaf. Okay. And so my dad lovingly said, hey, you know, how would you like to try preaching? And we lived out in the country. And he said, okay, on your 17th birthday, you're going to preach your first message. I don't know how to do that. He goes, I'll show you. So he showed me how to write a sermon. And I got up there. And I remember my grandpa was asleep on the back row already before the sermon started. I remember I had all this family there and pit sweat going, you know, down, nervous. And I did Psalm 97. I said, the mountains melt like wax before the Lord. And I said that 300 times. I said, isn't it cool that the mountains melt like wax? Isn't it awesome that the mountains melt like wax? That's all I said, you know. But I remember God moving. And then I went through a whole year of preaching really terrible messages. Like really, yeah, like just, you know, trying every kind of thing. But then I remember when I was 18, I got licensed to ministry a year later. I had this message that I really wanted people to get. And I'm in the back of the church before service. I'm in my dad's office. And I just got on my knees and I started praying. I didn't realize what I was doing. And I said, God, please speak through me. I can't do it, but you can. And I remember going out there and feeling this fire. It's like Jeremiah 29 says, 20 verse 9, the word of God becomes like a fire shut up in your bones. And I remember, I'm like, this is not me. This is the Holy Spirit. And I prayed that moment. I said, God, I don't want to get back up there unless I'm yielded to the Holy Spirit. I never want to do this in my own power again. And then fast forward, I got convicted lately. You know, because as I'm reading this, the Holy Spirit's like, you know what? You pray for the same power to raise Jesus from the dead when you preach, but what about when you're at home with your wife and children? Do you pray on a daily basis? God, these toddlers are crazy. They make your flesh come up a lot, right? It's like, the flesh is waiting. You know, when they're trying to kill your older son's fish, or they're breaking something, or whatever it is, that all happens. Or they're getting into dog poop in the backyard. They've done that before. He's like, are you praying for the same power to raise Jesus from the dead to raise your kids, your boys? Are you praying for the same power to raise Jesus from the dead when you love your wife, when she critiques your driving, or when she critiques? This is what I learned about when I got married, okay? I lived a bachelor life for 7 years before I got married, and when I got married, I realized everything that was wrong with me. I didn't think that was nothing was wrong with me, right? And my wife, she's perfect, so when I compare, she points out all the things, you know, I didn't know my face could stink. Your face could stink when you get married, okay? I didn't know. I realized all these flaws. I'm like, you know what? Two sinners can't live together without the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why the divorce rate is so high. Come on, right? Because our flesh. But when we yield to the power of the Holy Spirit, He allows us to do things that we never thought we could do in our own power. And it's the simplest things in life that we can't do in our own power that Satan gets in. It's like this recently. My brother and my dad, we won through a drawing. We won a bass boat through a drawing. It was like, wow, you know, we didn't know that was going to happen, but we did it. And so the problem was, me and my brother got really anxious about taking it out on the water. The problem was, we've never driven this type of boat. But my brother said, I have. Don't worry. And my dad couldn't go, but we were anxious, so we said we're going to load this thing up and take it out on the water. Even though I've always let somebody else drive, I've never used this particular type of one. And so we get out on the water. My brother's like, I know what I'm doing. And so he gets up there, and there's a certain way you got to start it, and if you don't, you're going to flood it. And we didn't even get off the ramp. Like, we're in the water, and he drowns out the engine. You know, he flooded the engine, ran the battery down, and we had to, and the boat's just floating in the water. So we had to, like, get out there ourselves and somehow put it back on a boat, and we did. And I remember my brother saying, I don't know how we got that thing back up there. It wasn't us. It must have been the Lord, you know. But that's like us. Like, we're dead in the water without the Holy Spirit. We got all this power around us, but when we don't tap into it, our problem was we didn't ask for instructions. We didn't get the instruction manual from my dad. We didn't ask anybody that knew what they were doing. We said, we can do this in our own strength. And the second time we said, hey, Dad, give us the manual. Hey, you got one of these type of boats. Tell me how you start yours, okay? And we get out there the second time. We're going on the water, man. The front end was raising up, but we were going. We didn't know why that was happening. But we were going. That's what happens. How do you live in the power of the Holy Spirit? How do you apply it? This is what he says. Look at verse 24, and this is how we close. The band can come back up. And I just want to give you some things to take away. It says this. Now, those who belong to Jesus Christ have done what? Crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So this is what you got to do, number one, is die to yourself. You can see that on the screen. Die to yourself. He says, look, those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. You know what our culture tells us to do every day through our messaging and media and all that stuff? You know what they tell us? If you have passions and desires, even if they're against God and the Bible, you obey them. They're your authority. That's a lie from the devil. Obey your desires. Do what makes you happy. You see that message? But this is what we don't hear about often. Jesus, when you follow Jesus, Jesus says, die to your passions and your desires and take better desires which come from him. You know, Jesus doesn't bow down to our feelings and our emotions. He is Lord over our feelings and our emotions. And if we have a desire that's dominated in our life that doesn't glorify him, you know what he can do? Because he's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, he can change it. Because he died for that, right? And here, that we've lost this art of like coming and saying, Jesus, I surrender everything. I die to myself. But what happens when you die? That sounds negative. Who wants to die? But when you die spiritually, what happens? You get a resurrection. That's how resurrection happens. Jesus had to go to the cross and die that bloody death on the cross for the sin of the whole world, my sin, and he had to die for your sin. Why? So that he knew that he had to go through that so that 3 days later, He could raise from the dead, right? He's risen from the dead. He can come out of the grave. Jesus busted out of the grave. And because Jesus came out of the grave 3 days later and appeared to over 500 witnesses, we can have the resurrection power of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, live inside of us. He ascended back to heaven and he told the disciples, he said, it's better that I go away. I know you are a little sad that I'm going away, but it's better because if I don't go away, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And that's going to be better. I'm going to live life through you. That's his gift to us. But we have to die so that we can experience resurrection, a new life. We don't have to try to better ourselves or find a new us in our own power. We just surrender and let Jesus raise us from the dead. That's what we need. Number two is surrender to the Holy Spirit. Surrender everything, not half of it. Not come halfway. Not say, God, I'm going to give you this, but I'm going to keep this. Surrender everything to the Holy Spirit. And number three is this. This is where we often mess up. Obey the Holy Spirit. Actually do obedience. Obedience leads to blessing. Actually do what he tells us to do. What is he telling you to do? That's what the Christian life is. It's hearing his voice through his word and then doing what he tells us to do when we leave this building. What is he telling you to do today? So this is what I ask you to do. I want us all to quietly just, in a spirit of worship, just stand to our feet and bow our heads and close our eyes. We're going to have a time of response, a song of response. Don't worry, we have time today. The Cowboys never made the playoffs, so we don't have anything to get back to, really. But just bow your head and close your eyes. Maybe you're here and you're like, Garrett, I'm not a Christian. I'm not a Jesus follower. And you need to surrender and let the Holy Spirit come to live inside of you. That's what you need. Say yes to him. He made it a way. You don't have to try to do more good things than bad. You could just say, Jesus, I confess that you're Lord. I believe God raised you from the dead. I need you. Save me. And that's when the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. So if that's you today, I want to give you an opportunity to say yes and opportunity to respond. No matter how young or how old, maybe you've been hearing the message all weekend and today's the day where you like, you need to make that commitment. You need to surrender. Or maybe you just came in today and you say, Garrett, I heard that message. I need Jesus. If you're here and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I don't want to embarrass you. I don't want to call you out. I just want to give you an opportunity while we're in here undistracted to have a moment with him that'll change your life forever, that'll change the trajectory of your life, your eternity. That'll change everything. You need Jesus. And if you're here and that's you, you say, Garrett, that's me. I need Jesus. I want to pray for you. So if that's you today and you need the Lord today, you're like, Garrett, I need to surrender right now. God's speaking in my heart. You know who you are. If that's you today, I want to pray for you. So if that's you, just look at me and raise your hand right now. I want to pray for you. Come on. Come on. I need Jesus today. Come on. Anyone in here, say, Garrett, please pray for me. Lift it real high where I can see it. I want to know who you are. Amen. Amen. That's awesome. Anyone else? I need Jesus. I need Jesus. Come on, raise your hand real high. I need the Lord. Anyone else? Any student in the room? I've been fighting it all weekend, but today I'm ready. Come on. If that's you, lift your hand up real high. So this is what I, amen. I see you in the back. Amen. That's awesome. So if you raise your hand, this is what I want you to do. Just bow your head, close your eyes. What I want to do is just be a guide to you. I want to be a help to you. So I'm going to pray. But it's simply calling on the name of the Lord, confessing that he's Lord, Romans 10, 9 and 10, believing that God raised him from the dead. That's all salvation takes, is you confessing that he is Lord. So I'm going to give you a moment to do that. So I'm going to pray, but I want you to take this prayer and pray it out loud, just like it's you and the Lord in the room. Talk to him. He's here. He's listening. And say this to him with all of your heart right now. All right, let's bow our head. Let's pray. I'm going to pray, but I want you to pray this out loud after me. Say, Jesus, I believe that you're the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin. Tell him. I believe that you raised from the dead. Tell him. I believe that you ascended back to heaven. And Lord, I turn away from my sin. Tell him. I turn away from sin. And I put my faith and trust in you. Tell him. I put my faith and trust in you. I receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Tell him. To live inside of me until I meet you face to face. And then I receive the forgiveness of my sins, past, present, and future. In Jesus' name. So if you're here today and you prayed that, you raised your hand, you asked Jesus to save you, this is what I want you to do. In a moment, we're going to sing. The pastors are going to be up front. I want to challenge you to make your way down. You can even bring a friend or family member with you if you want. But you need to tell somebody because there's a family here, an extended family that wants to walk alongside of you because it's not the end of the journey. It's just the beginning. They want to connect you, give you community, give you people that have your back, give you people that will walk alongside of you. So that was you, and you prayed to Jesus. We want to know who you are, because we want to help you today. So you just come as we say. Maybe you're here and you're like, Garrett, I'm a Christian. I'm a Jesus follower, but I've been just letting the flesh have control of my life. And there's some stuff I got to confess or get right. And I just need revival. You don't need to get saved again. You need revival. If that's you, just raise your hand. If that's you, I want to pray for you. Understand the front is open. You can come and kneel and pray. You can sing, do business with God, whatever it is, you just come. I'm going to pray for us. Jesus, let there be boldness in this place. Let there be repentance and faith. Let people that are far from you feel your love today, that you love them, that you have the top shelf for them, that you don't want them to settle for a life in the flesh, a life of sin. You want them to surrender and take everything that you have for them to belong to you and to represent you and to serve you the rest of their life. God, I pray they would experience that. Let this church be a church yielded to the Holy Spirit, God. We thank you so much, and may you move in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.